We Start and End with Family, written by Batsid Hosai and read by Kitana. Summary. Qui-Gon had been mostly joking when he'd originally brought up the idea of a lineage dinner, but when his former Padawan grabbed for the idea with both hands in a desperation Qui-Gon didn't understand, and privately hoped he never would, he knew he would never be able to refuse. When Qui-Gon opened the door the evening of the dinner, he'd expected Fi-Mor to be the first to arrive. Or Obi-Wan, though he had only finished moving out that afternoon. He was more likely to just walk in than to knock. It was not Fi-Mor, however, but Ace, who was watching him out of narrowed green eyes.
"Let me in," they ordered.
Qui-Gon stepped back, a little uncertain how to interact with his grand Padawan. He'd known them only in passing as a youngling. Jadander had been the one to find them, and Fi-Mor had often gone to check in on them during his Padawan years. Before Qui-Gon left with Xanatos on that fateful mission to Telos IV, Fi-Mor had been stressing about taking the young initiate who had been in danger of aging out as his first Padawan, and their interactions since had been... Well, Ace had made it pretty clear they wanted as little to do with their grandmaster as possible. Qui-Gon cleared his throat and offered, in as neutral a tone as he could manage,
"Knight Kudzilek, Padawan Naidu isn't with you?"
"No, I put her in charge of our food," they replied flatly as they stalked into the flat, keeping a noticeable distance between themselves and Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon closed the door and turned back to Ace, watching them stare around the living room area like they were looking for secrets. Ace's expression twisted with a grimace.
"Force, he got his shitty interior decorating skills from you, didn't he?"
Qui-Gon raised an eyebrow at that and tried to find what it was exactly his grand Padawan was complaining about. But all he saw were his multitude of plants and the shelves installed along one wall that held an array of various bits he'd picked up on missions.
"And the eyebrow," Ace muttered,
and Qui-Gon couldn't stop himself from raising the other one too.
"Ugh."
Qui-Gon slipped his hands into the opposing sleeves, saw Ace's grimace deepen, and couldn't stop himself from asking,
"Did you really think it would be as simple to erase me from his life as it was to force me out?"
Ace's expression twisted into a snarl.
"I didn't have to force you, Grandmaster," they shot back, practically spitting their relation. "You managed that all on your own."
"Really? And what, then, do you call telling me to, what was it, again?"
Qui-Gon replied in as mild a tone as he could manage, around the old wounds.
"Ah, yes, stay the criff away from him."
"Protecting my master," Ace snapped without missing a beat. "What the criff do you call repudiating him?"
"Unintentional."
Ace lacked the element of surprise, so Qui-Gon saw their punch coming in more than enough time to dodge to the side, grab their wrist and twist it around and up behind their back, using their momentum to slam them into the wall that had been at his back.
"No," Qui-Gon said into their dark hair. "I am not going to stand still and let you punch me, Grand Padawan. If it's violence you're looking for, you can find me in the cells, but you will not ruin your master's dinner."
Ace gave a sharp yank against Qui-Gon's hold, only to hiss when he didn't budge. "Criff you!"
Qui-Gon made himself take a breath, accepting the old pain and anger and passing it on to the Force. Then let the knight go and stepped back.
"It was never my intention to hurt Fi-Mor," he said, biting back a wince at how close to pleading his voice had come out. "I've already apologized to him, and he accepted it."
Ace spun, their eyes blazing. "Oh, you apologized," they snarled. "Well, that surely makes up for everything, doesn't it?"
"I never said that," Qui-Gon said, reproving. "It's Fi-Mor's choice whether or not he forgives me, and it's not your place to carry a grudge on his behalf."
He raised an eyebrow when Ace drew in a sharp breath to respond and added,
"Revenge is not the Jedi way."
"Criff you and criff the Karking code," Ace shouted. "I've spent 17 years putting him back together every time he has a depressive episode because of what you did to him."
Qui-Gon felt the words like a physical blow, and he staggered back a step. He knew Fi-Mor had struggled with bouts of depression after Jadander's death, and his studies had often suffered because of his insomnia, which had him too often doubting his abilities and worth as a Jedi. Qui-Gon had done what he could to help Fi-Mor, both while he was his master and after. Hearing his Padawan had taken a Padawan of his own had been a source of pride, because he'd known exactly how much Fëanor had struggled with the fear that he wouldn't be a good master. Of course Qui-Gon would have been the one to ruin all of Fëanor's hard work, would trample all over his already fragile self-worth because a boy who had enjoyed doing exactly that had finally turned his vitriol on Qui-Gon. Someone knocked on the door. As soon as Qui-Gon recognized Fëanor's Force presence, he had to retreat to his bedroom, uncertain he could actually face his former Padawan. Ace must have opened the door, or Fëanor had thought to see if he'd been granted access, which he had. In truth, Qui-Gon had always made sure to add permission for Fëanor when he moved to new quarters, just in case. Because he heard Fëanor sigh, then ask, "How disappointed in you should I be?"
"I didn't do anything," Ace replied, sounding more like a petulant youngling than a knight.
"No, of course not," Fëanor agreed. And Qui-Gon couldn't help but recognize his own bland, "I know, you're lying to me," tone. "The flat always feels strongly of grief and horror." Qui-Gon winced and made an attempt to release his upset to the Force. Ace muttered something. Irritation shot through the Force, surprisingly loud. "Go help the Padawans," Fëanor ordered. And then after a moment he moved towards Qui-Gon's closed bedroom door. "Master," he said, pitch to carry easily through the door to Qui-Gon's sensitive ears. "Are you okay?"
"Am I okay?"
Qui-Gon couldn't help but reply incredulous. How had Fëanor ever managed to forgive him? Dead or not, he'd still done something unforgivable. Fëanor sighed, then pushed the door open without asking. He looked tired. His insomnia was probably giving him trouble again. Faint bruising under blue eyes that were shaded with so much grief and pain. It was a wonder it had taken Qui-Gon as long as it had to realize that the vision his Padawan had claimed to have had been far worse than just his own death.
"What did Ace say to you?"
Qui-Gon huffed out a slightly bitter laugh and rubbed at his eyes.
"The truth?"
"You know that really doesn't answer my question," Fëanor replied flatly, before his fingers were curling around Qui-Gon's wrist and tugging his hand down away from his eyes, refusing him that flimsy shield.
"Qui-Gon, we can't have a lineage dinner if you're hiding in here because of whatever truth Ace went spewing."
Qui-Gon raised an eyebrow.
"Spewing?"
Fëanor rolled his eyes up to stare at the ceiling for a moment and then looked back at Qui-Gon and said,
"Some days I understand why the council should like to drop you down a dark hole to save their sanity."
Qui-Gon couldn't quite stop a small smirk at that.
"Master," Fëanor said, expression showing no hint of the amusement it usually held when he made comments like that.
Instead, he just looked tired and worried.
Force. This was supposed to be a good event. Something that Fëanor had wanted, something to make him happy. To think back on, and have while he was playing advisor with the Sith's puppet. And Ace had to...
No, that wasn't fair. Qui-Gon's own failings had led them down this path. Ace had only been doing what they thought best, what they had been doing for years, protecting their master from someone or something that might hurt them, that had a history of hurting him. Qui-Gon sighed, resigning himself to the certainty that Fëanor wouldn't let this matter go, and quietly said,
"When you were a Padawan after Jadander's death, you often struggled with upset. Depression." Fëanor corrected with none of the shame he'd used to have in his voice.
"Yes."
"And after I repudiated you," Qui-Gon managed to force out.
Fëanor's mouth felt flat and unhappy for a moment, before he let out a sigh and shook his head.
"Yes," he agreed, and Qui-Gon couldn't stop a wince.
"Yes," Fëanor said again, stressing the word, "I had depressive episodes, because I inherited them from my mother. Which we found out when Ramada dragged me to the healers and told them to sedate me because I was not in a good place."
He grimaced slightly, then squeezed Qui-Gon's wrist, which he was apparently still holding.
"It's something I have to live with, like my insomnia, but it's treatable. And not in a way that makes me sleep like the dead for 10 hours and struggle to form coherent sentences or walk in a straight line for another 2. I'm handling it."
And then he huffed and quirked a faint smile. The healer spent a lot of time complaining about how, if either of us had been less intent on avoiding the halls at every chance, they would have caught it before my trials.
Qui-Gon grimaced. "Yes, that's a failing of mine."
Fëanor dropped his chin to his own chest and tilted forward, The move too fast for Qui-Gon to react before his head was pressing against his chest, the weight suggesting that if Qui-Gon shifted out of the way, his Padawan would unbalance, so he remained perfectly still.
I don't know, Fimor said quietly, which of you I want to drag to the Salsmore right now. Ace promised me they were going to try, and you are letting them get to you. My depression is not your fault. Yes, what you did exacerbated the problem. Yes, it was one of the worst karking years of my life. Right up there with you dying and Wang Wei dying and the whole Kriffing War.
Such illustrious company, Qui-Gon couldn't help himself from saying. Fumor snorted then said, No, I lied. The war was worse. Especially the 6 months I couldn't get my medication. I thought Pomp was going to start burgling civilian clinics and experimenting with whatever he could get his hands on.
Pomp, Qui-Gon couldn't help but note, and he filed the name away. Fimor was careful about the names of whatever soldiers he'd fought with, had caught himself a few times and changed what he was saying partway through what could have been a name. As much as he wanted to know more about the soldiers who had become so important to his Padawan, he'd also promised himself not to push for any information about Fimor's memories, and knew Obi-Wan had decided the same. The Force knew the Council was going to be harassing him for as much as they could dredge out of him. He didn't need that from them, too.
I'm certain the healers would have preferred he didn't try any experiments, he replied dryly. Fimor huffed. Probably not, but puh. He stopped, tensed slightly, and then muttered, Kark it, before continuing. Pomp was one of our medics. Him and Doc, they would have been safe about it.
Pomp and Doc, medics, potentially nicknames. Fimor sighed and finally pulled away, straightening and catching Qui-Gon's gaze without hesitating.
Look, you got hurt. You karked up. I got hurt, and my genetics made it worse. That part's not your fault. It's just luck of the draw. Please tell your overactive conscience to let this one go, just for tonight. I will try, Qui-Gon agreed.
Fimor nodded and turned away.
If you still feel guilty tomorrow, you can let me beat you up in the cells like you did when I was a Padawan, he called back in a voice meant to carry through the flat.
Qui-Gon huffed.
I'm sure I have no idea what you mean, he replied.
As if they didn't both know, he'd used his overdramatic losses as a way to cheer Fimor up on particularly bad days.
Force, genetically predisposed to depressive episodes. No wonder it had always been such a struggle to get a handle on. No amount of meditation had helped, not for long, nor had any of the other tricks Qui-Gon or Tal had come up with. He should have taken Fimor to the healers. Had known it even then. But neither of them had liked the halls. Some things never changed. And the only time he'd ever suggested it, Fimor had had a panic attack, and once he'd calmed down, begged him not to make him go. Qui-Gon had only much later found out that another Padawan, who had headed out for Kimura and picked Fimor as an easier target, had heard just enough about his struggles with depression to use it as proof that Fimor wasn't cut out to be a Jedi, and that the Council would banish him if they found out. Qui-Gon had quickly put an end to that bantha fodder, but the damage had already been done, and he hadn't tried bringing the healers up as an option again.
Master, Obi-Wan called, tone-teasing, exactly how many times has a 14-year-old beat you?
16, Fimor corrected.
14, Obi-Wan replied, pointing at himself.
Qui-Gon just sighed.
Yes, yes, such a surprise. I managed to train both of my Padawans so well they managed to defeat me, without help, within a year of my accepting them, he said in as dry a tone as he could manage. Yoda let out a cackle from the kitchen while someone giggled.
Qui-Gon stepped far enough into the living room to see into the kitchen and frowned when he saw they were missing one.
We're still waiting on Yon?
Fimor was tense.
No, he said, a hint of ice in his voice. I saw him earlier. He's leaving the order.
He's what?
Qui-Gon demanded, shocked. He knew his former master had been losing faith in the Council since Galatron, but he hadn't thought he'd outright leave.
I tried, Fimor said quietly, grieving.
He'd known Yon would leave, of course he had. This must have been the second chance he'd hoped to give his Grandmaster, a chance to stay with the Order. To not die?
Oh, made his choice, Yon has, Yoda said as he hobbled from the kitchen. Take it from him, we cannot.
You say that now, Fimor muttered.
Qui-Gon desperately wanted to know to ask why his Padawan was so very against Jian leaving the Order, but not tonight. So instead of asking, he stepped up next to Fimor and dropped a hand onto his shoulder, squeezing gently.
"It's his loss," he offered.
Fimor quirked a tired smile at him, grief and anger still darkening his eyes.
"It is," he agreed. "Wang Wei's casserole is the best thing this side of the Rishi Maze."
"Master," the girl in question howled, dropping her darkening face into her hands, the bush of her hair bobbing at the motion.
"And I honestly don't know how Ace makes their pastries so light," Fimor continued, eyes lighting with delight at the chance to embarrass his Padawans. Ace's cheeks had darkened as they ducked their head.
"Vega did most of the work," they insisted.
"Sure, the oven, the cooling, the filling," Vega agreed, clearly taking the same amount of delight from embarrassing her master as her grandmaster was.
"You won't let me touch the dough, though. It's your baby."
Ace glowered at her.
"I will do a loop-de-loop the next time you're in a ship with me."
Vega scrunched up her nose in dislike.
"Can't you just threaten meditation like normal masters?"
"Ace normal?" Wang Wei asked, and then giggled and dodged when the knight lunged for her.
"Padawans," Fimor called, clearly amused.
"Sorry, master," they both called.
"Sorry, master."
And then Wang Wei let out a squeal as Ace caught her around the waist, lifted her off the floor, Vega ducking flailing limbs like this was a common occurrence, and held her upside down over the back of their shoulder. Wang Wei relaxed in the hold, her face turning a darker purple as she laughed.
"You're normal,"
she managed to get out.
"And don't you forget it,"
Ace called, then swung her back around in a practiced motion and set her back on her feet, not letting go until she nodded.
Force. Was this what Qui-Gon had been missing out on? This easy atmosphere of a lineage that could laugh and tease together without fear of stepping on a landmine?
Yoda harrumphed.
"Told me you did not, Padawan of my Padawan, that food I should have brought."
Qui-Gon offered an apologetic smile, but Obi-Wan rescued him by saying, "I think the idea was for the Padawans to handle the food, Master Yoda. Although, well, I guess Ace and Vega cheated a bit, and I'm not a Padawan anymore." He blinked a couple times while Yoda gave a noncommittal hum, then shook his head. "Anyway, I made stew." Qui-Gon couldn't stop himself from perking up. He hadn't asked Obi-Wan what he'd intended to make, in part so that the whole meal was a surprise.
"The stew Johnny recipe?" he asked.
Because while Obi-Wan had added a few other stew recipes to his repertoire over the years, that had long been both of their favorite. Obi-Wan shrugged. "I had the ingredients," he said in a tone that was trying to be careless. Qui-Gon squeezed Fimor's shoulder.
"You're going to love this," he promised.
And Obi-Wan ducked his head, cheeks pinking.
"It's not swamp stew," he added to Yoda. "But it should be more than flavorful enough for you, Grandmaster."
Yoda eyed him for a moment, clearly suspicious, then grunted and turned away.
"Delicious swamp stew is," he said, sounding a little petulant.
"Of course it is," Fimor agreed in a voice that actually managed to sound honest. "But sometimes it's the better thing to allow the younglings to show off their hard-earned skills."
Yoda spun on the spot, moving faster than Qui-Gon had really thought he was capable of, Gimmerstick lashing out.
"School me, you should not," he warned.
Fimor casually jumped over the attack like he'd expected it, dislodging Qui-Gon's hand in the process.
"I was just repeating one of your own adages, Grandmaster," he insisted.
Yoda narrowed his eyes, ears going flat.
"Said that to you, I have not."
Fimor raised his eyebrows. Yoda huffed, relaxing.
"Impertinent you have become," he decided, but he sounded amused.
Fimor bowed.
"I learn from the best," he agreed.
Qui-Gon coughed and rubbed at his mustache and beard to hide his smile. Saw Obi-Wan and Ace both trying to do the same thing, while the girls just watched with wide eyes as their master or grandmaster bested the grandmaster of the Order his own game. Yoda waved his gimmerstick in Fimor's direction, then turned to the audience in the kitchen.
"Much talk of food there has been, yet seen it I have not," he declared.
"I'm afraid we'll have to eat around the calf table," Qui-Gon offered, because there wasn't enough room around the dining table. Not that Yoda would have been comfortable eating there since it was sized for humans and near humans.
Yoda took that as permission to make his way over there, summoning Qui-Gon's meditation pillow with a lazy wave of one claw. Qui-Gon shook his head but didn't complain, instead glancing over to where Fimor had stepped forward to organize the delivery of dishes and food. Seeing he had it well in hand, Qui-Gon retreated to the calf table, settling in the large chair at one of the shorter ends across from Yoda. Obi-Wan came over next, carrying two large red-brown plates that must have come from Fimor's kitchen, which he put down in front of Yoda and Qui-Gon before kneeling comfortably on the ground next to Qui-Gon. He was closely followed by Fimor and Ace, the knight wearing a sour expression, both of whom carried two plates. One plate was handed to Obi-Wan, one set on his side of the table between him and Yoda, and the last two sat on the sofa side of the table where they both sat, Fimor between Qui-Gon and Ace. Wang Wei was carrying the last plate and a single glass of some sort of juice, both of which she sat between Ace and Yoda. Vega had the rest of the glasses, carrying them via a large metal tray Qui-Gon and Fimor had picked up on Lerator, which Qui-Gon had long suspected his former apprentice had made off with when he'd moved out.
"I almost asked if you knew where that tray had gone after the second time Xanatos dropped my old tea tray," Qui-Gon commented as Vega passed out the drinks. Fimor snorted. "Master, you were using it for your plants before I rescued it. If it had been from anywhere else, it probably would have been terribly water-stained." "Which is why I used it for them," Qui-Gon insisted, though he suspected he simply hadn't known what else to do with it. It was too heavy, really, to use as a tea tray, and while the wave pattern worked into the metal had a certain appeal, it wasn't nearly decorative enough to put on display.
"You got this as a Padawan?" Vega asked as she settled on the floor between Obi-Wan and Yoda, sliding the tray under the table. Fimor nodded as they all tucked in.
"It was a thank-you gift from the Savex chieftainess on Lerator, after we helped resolve a miscommunication between them and the human settlers," he explained after he swallowed a mouthful. "As I recall," Qui-Gon added dryly, "she suggested it would make an excellent sled next time you decided to try skidding down a cliff."
Fimor cleared his throat, pink shading across his cheeks.
"Ah, yes, that may have happened."
Vega and Wang Wei both giggled, and Ace draped an arm around Fimor's shoulders.
"Master," they said, "weren't you the one?"
"Anyway," Fimor interrupted, elbowing Ace in the side, and Qui-Gon didn't bother muffling his chuckle. "Yes, Vega, it's something I got when I was a Padawan."
Vega hummed and nodded.
"I'd wondered, it's not temple issue, and you'll tell stories about stuff you got when you were knighted, but you never talk about this one."
Green eyes slid over to Qui-Gon, the color darker than her master's.
"I guess I know why now." "Maybe Master just didn't want to tell us embarrassing stories," Wang Wei said with a certain amount of glee. Then she leaned forward over the table and said, "I bet you have all sorts of stories, don't you, Grandmaster?"
Qui-Gon hummed thoughtfully and stroked his beard.
"I'm sure I have one or two," he agreed.
"You really don't," Fimor insisted before shooting Obi-Wan a pleading look. Obi-Wan just grinned and shrugged, clearly aware that Qui-Gon had plenty of stories to embarrass him, too. And then from the other end of the caff table, Yoda said,
"Embarrassing stories you are looking for, huh?" "Master, no," Qui-Gon said almost simultaneously.
"Master, no, Fimor." Yoda's slow smile and Vega, Wang Wei, and Ace all letting out noises of approval promised that there would be no getting out of suffering stories of youthful indiscretions for any of them, though it sounded like Fimor had already told most of the embarrassing stories about Ace that Yoda knew, and the girls got away mostly unscathed. It was probably because it was Yoda telling the stories, with each of them attempting to interject defenses on their own behalf, and he didn't pick on any one of them. But it didn't feel like an attack, or something meant in poor taste like it would have if Yana had been the one telling the stories of his youth. Qui-Gon couldn't help but wonder if Fimor felt the same, given how messy their relationship had gotten because of Xanatos. It hurt just a little, that thought, because he and Fimor had always had a good relationship, unlike Qui-Gon and his own master. Obi-Wan leant over, clearly sensing the shift in Qui-Gon's mood, and nudged his leg with his elbow. "Is it the stew?" he asked quietly, his voice more worried than teasing, though Qui-Gon knew he wasn't worried that the stew was off. Qui-Gon shoved his grim thoughts away for later rumination and offered his Padawan a smile.
"Your stew is delicious as ever," he returned, and Obi-Wan grinned, flushing ever so slightly in pleasure.
He glanced up at where Wang Wei was giggling at one of Yoda's stories about Yan. Apparently he didn't need to be in attendance to be fair game, and it was only fair that his great and great-great-grand Padawans had the chance to learn something of him, and raised his voice a bit to add,
"Wang Wei's casserole was also delicious."
The girl flushed a dark purple and ducked her head.
"Thank you, Grandmaster."
Yoda hummed and nodded.
"Talented chefs in this lineage," he agreed,
looking between Wang Wei and Obi-Wan, both of whom were clearly embarrassed but pleased as they thanked him.
"Is there any more of the stew left?" Fimor asked.
"We dished it all out," Vega said, "but there's casserole left."
"Mine,"
Ace called and vaulted backwards off the sofa. Wenwei and Fimor jerking away from any chance of getting hit with a limb, and summoned their plate with the force as they raced for the kitchen. "Well," Fimor said dryly, while Wenwei moaned into her hands. "It's good I can have more of that whenever I want." Wenwei peeked out from behind her fingers. "Was that a complaint about how often I make it?" Fimor raised an eyebrow at her. "Padawan mine, which of us is in charge of keeping the kitchen stocked with ingredients?" She blinked, brow furrowing.
"You?"
"He's saying he stocks the makings for what he wants you to make," Ace translated as they returned with a plate full of casserole.
"Oh," Wenwei said, and then shifted down the sofa to hug Fimor, which he returned with a fond chuckle. That was something Qui-Gon had noticed, that Fimor had become very tactile at some point in the past 17 years. He'd originally thought it might have been related to having suffered through a war, or a reaction from having lost so many people dear to him, but both Wenwei and Ace seemed to expect the hugs, which was fine. There was nothing in the code that said hugs were forbidden. That just wasn't something Qui-Gon had been raised to expect, and nor had he raised any of his Padawans with so much physical contact. But it seemed to suit this part of his lineage, all of them so much closer to one another than he'd ever been with Yan or Yoda. Even Obi-Wan had appeared to soak up the contact when Fimor had hugged him. The little sparks of uncertainty that had always flickered around his end of their training bond quieting the same way they did after a long meditation. And Qui-Gon couldn't help but wonder where this change had come from. Whether he should follow Fimor's lead. If it would even be welcome. Obi-Wan offered uncertainly. "I can give you the recipe for the stew. Or I can let you know next time I make it. There's always plenty to share, so guests are always welcome." Fimor smiled warmly.
"I would never turn down an invitation," he promised, and Obi-Wan grinned, so obviously happy.
"Seconded," Wenwei chimed in. "Master is a hopeless cook, so I'm always up for someone else making a meal."
Fimor huffed.
"Yes, unfortunately, I learned how to cook from Qui-Gon." Qui-Gon grimaced while Obi-Wan laughed. "You're not quite that bad," Qui-Gon insisted, because there had been a month where they'd had to rely entirely on themselves for food preparation, and at least half of Fimor's attempts had been better than just edible. Fimor raised an eyebrow at him. "That's true. None of my cooking attempts ever landed anyone in the halls for 3 hours.
"Wait, how did you only suffer 3 hours?
Obi-Wan demanded, while the two Padawans and Ace all snickered.
"I got stuck there for a whole day."
"Master Trivik was less terrifying than Master Che?" Fimor guessed, shrugging.
"No," Qui-Gon said, amused at the memory. "Your friend staged a prison break."
"Kay?"
Ace asked, and when Fimor nodded, said,
"Oh yeah, he totally would."
Fimor chuckled.
"He and Ramada were the distraction. Rune snuck me out."
"Master Ramada was involved?" Wenwei demanded, wide-eyed.
"She's so masterly, though," Vega added.
Qui-Gon choked on a mouthful of juice.
"Masterly?" he asked Fimor a little incredulously.
From what he recalled of his Padawan's band of miscreants, the Rodian had been just as likely as Kimura to come up with terrible ideas, though hers tended to be less about pranking others and more about going on adventures, including once getting all four Padawans trapped in the lower levels of the temple for almost 6 hours. Yoda cackled outright, while Fimor put on a serene little smile and sipped at his juice.
"Wasn't Ramada the one who planned the prison break?" Qui-Gon asked.
Fimor nodded, then turned to the Padawans and said,
"Ramada doesn't do pranks, but she does like knowing exactly how things work, and where dark hallways lead. It's part of what makes her such an effective peacekeeper."
"Oh," Vega said, while Wenwei frowned and slowly nodded. "So, pastries?" Ace asked.
Fimor twisted to look at them.
"Did you install a black hole in your stomach while it was on Naboo?" he demanded.
"Be reasonable, Master. It's a Wookiee," they replied evenly, raising one eyebrow.
The girls attempted to muffle their snickers while Yoda's ears went up in disbelief.
"Is that where the Shriwook is coming from?" Obi-Wan asked, and Qui-Gon had to hide his grin in his glass.
Fimor turned a betrayed look on him while Ace coughed, their eyes bright with delight.
You're officially my favorite, Uncle Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan's face contorted like he couldn't decide if he was horrified or pleased. Fëanor let out a huff that Qui-Gon was fairly certain was meant to disguise a laugh and motioned with one hand. All of the plates rose up and gently settled into a stack, utensils piled neatly on the top, then floated over the sofa to settle on top of the single plate Ace was holding.
Vega, go help them, he ordered as Ace grunted. This is carking heavy, Ace complained, even as they turned and retreated to the kitchen.
Vega hopped up, ducked to grab the tray, then raced after her master with a grin. Can you get them to stop that? Obi-Wan asked Fëanor. Fëanor raised an eyebrow at him.
I can't wait until you take a Padawan and realize exactly how little control you have over them.
Obi-Wan grimaced. I'm going to be a knight forever, he decided. Qui-Gon didn't believe him for a moment.
Grandmaster?
Qui-Gon looked past his Padawans to where Wang Wei was sitting at the far end of the sofa next to Yoda's empty spot. A quick check in the Force showed the Grandmaster was using the fresher.
Yes, Grand Padawan.
Wang Wei caught her bottom lip between her teeth for a brief moment, then asked,
Could you... You're one of the top duelists in the Order, right?
So I'm told, Qui-Gon agreed mildly. So humble, Fëanor muttered.
Wang Wei gave a quick nod.
Could you teach me? When Master is in the Senate?
I would be happy to, Qui-Gon promised. And I'm sure Obi-Wan would be willing to help or take over whenever I'm away for a mission.
Of course, Obi-Wan agreed. Wang Wei straightened and beamed at them.
Thank you.
Why can't you go to the Senate with Fëanor?
Ace asked as they returned with Vega, the girl carrying the tray full of small plates while the knight carried two more. Wang Wei cast an uncertain look at Fëanor, even as she pulled her legs up onto the sofa so Ace could slide past her. Fëanor sighed.
You can't come with me in her place, he said.
Ace froze halfway to sitting after having set the plates in front of Qui-Gon and Fëanor and slowly turned to stare at their master.
What the criff?
What's going on?
Vega demanded as she finished passing out the rest of the plates and settled back down in her spot. She glanced between Wang Wei and Fëanor, then quickly at Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Master Fëanor?
Working with the Sith, the Chancellor is,
Yoda announced as he returned to his spot.
No!
Ace snapped, grabbing Fëanor's wrist.
Master, you can't!
And who, then, would you have in my place?
Fëanor asked, a hard edge to his voice that had Ace, Wang Wei, and Vega all flinching back, their eyes going wide.
Half this room is already on the Sith's radar, and I am the only one qualified to serve as a Senate advisor. This is my duty, Sith or no, and I will not sit back and watch as they rip the Republic and the Order to pieces for their gain.
This, Qui-Gon realized with a distant sort of horrified grief, was the soldier, the man who had gone to war and been shot by someone he trusted on the orders of the one who was supposed to be leading them. This was the man who had lost his master, his Padawans, and Grand Padawan, even most of his friends. And judging by the way Ace's expression had frozen in a rictus of horror and fury, Wang Wei was half hiding behind her sibling Padawan, and Vega had scrunched in on herself, shifting ever so slightly closer to Obi-Wan. None of them knew how to react to this stranger, this warrior wearing their master's face. He reached forward and settled his hand at the nape of Fëanor's neck and said,
Padawan.
Fëanor shuddered and relaxed back against the contact, breathing out a quiet criff.
Asked for Fëanor, Chancellor Palpatine did. Yoda commented. To refuse him, unwise it would be, an excuse we would need. Have one, do you, Knight Kudzilek?
He turned a hard gaze on Ace. The knight swallowed and shook their head.
No,
they whispered. Fëanor sighed and pulled away from Qui-Gon's hand, leaning forward to pull Ace into a hug, which they immediately returned, hands fisted in the back of Fëanor's tunic so tightly the tan of their knuckles went ashen.
I know, Fëanor said quietly,
reaching a hand out past Ace to Wang Wei, and she seemed to take that as an invitation to scramble over the pair and curl up between Fëanor and the arm of the sofa, his nearer arm immediately wrapping around her and pulling her against his side.
Vega?
Obi-Wan whispered, and Qui-Gon glanced away from the huge pile on the sofa, ignored the face Yoda was making, the one that too often preceded a lecture on attachment, to where Vega had caught Obi-Wan's arm and was hugging it. He glanced in Fëanor's direction, grimaced in a pained sort of understanding, and then nodded and said, Okay, to the girl. Qui-Gon couldn't stop his eyebrows from raising because that had looked suspiciously like communicating through a force bond. He'd had no idea they'd formed one. And if they were communicating concepts or words through it, it had to have been from before they left Naboo. He was not jealous. He'd done the proper thing when he'd knighted both of them and dissolved the training bonds he'd had with them. If he wanted a more equal pair bond with either of them like he'd had with Tall before she'd broken it so it wouldn't snap and rebound when she died. He was perfectly capable of asking.
I don't like it either, Fëanor admitted quietly. But this is the hand we've been dealt, and I'd much rather someone who knows what they're getting into steps in as the Chancellor's advisor.
Why not make a counselor do it then? Ace muttered.
Fëanor huffed. You really want one of them juggling council business, advising the Chancellor, investigating him behind his back, and whatever else comes up? Master Galea is the most qualified, but she also has a Padawan. Ondaciri wouldn't let herself be convinced to stay in Temple, Obi-Wan pointed out. Not sure she'd be able to keep from letting on that the Chancellor's a traitor, either.
Oh? Qui-Gon couldn't resist saying. I thought you said she was much more settled the last time we were on a mission with them.
Why aren't you more upset by this, Grandmaster? Ace demanded before Obi-Wan could respond to the blatant teasing.
Ace.
Qui-Gon raised an eyebrow at the knight.
You think I'm not worried? That I wouldn't much prefer to take Fëanor, to take all of you, as far from the Senate and this hidden Sith's machinations as possible? He shook his head. We are Jedi, Knight Kuzluk. That means we must be prepared to risk ourselves for the sake of others. That is our duty, the code we have sworn to uphold. You know this. Ace ducked their head back towards Fëanor's shoulder, hiding their pained grimace.
Fëanor sighed.
At any rate, Qui-Gon added, the Council has agreed to never send both myself and Obi-Wan away from the temple at the same time, so one of us will always be nearby to stay with Wang Wei and provide backup should Fëanor need it. I'm sorry, when was this decided? Fëanor asked, turning an unimpressed stare on Qui-Gon.
After you left to tell the Council about Palpatine's request, Obi-Wan supplied.
Without me, many decisions were made, Yoda muttered.
Payback. Fëanor deadpanned and Yoda's ears went up in surprise before he narrowed his eyes.
Qui-Gon cleared his throat and interrupted before a fight started, because he was beginning to suspect that Fëanor and Yoda had formed some sort of antagonistic friendship over the course of the 13 years in Fëanor's memories.
We all know how much you enjoy younglings, Master Yoda, and would never have wanted to take that opportunity away from you.
Yeah, Annie and I had a lot of fun, Wang Wei added.
Yoda's ears went back to a relaxed position.
Fun with you I had also, he admitted, before pointing a claw at Fëanor and saying, like me you are becoming.
Qui-Gon couldn't help but laugh at Fëanor's horrified expression.
Fëanor huffed. One of you get off me so I can have my pastry.
Pass me mine,
Wang Wei asked Ace as they let go of Fëanor and shifted back out of his space. Ace turned a flat look on her, but did reach over and grab her plate to pass over so she could stay curled against Fëanor's side. Qui-Gon picked up his pastry and took a bite. The overpowering taste of salt almost made him spit it back out, but he forced himself to swallow it, then raised an eyebrow at Ace, who was watching him with that same look Kimura would get when he was waiting for a reaction to whatever prank he'd just set.
Ace, Fëanor said, looking between them. Master.
Ace replied, trying very hard to look innocent and largely failing.
They made one with salt instead of sugar, Vega reported and shrugged at her master's betrayed look. I told you he'd know it was you.
Fëanor let out a long, tired sigh.
Here, Qui-Gon, you can have mine, he offered, holding out his plate with his own pastry, a small bite taken out of it.
Qui-Gon debated taking it for a moment because he did want to try the proper thing. After hearing his Padawan praise them earlier, but he also wasn't about to take food that Fëanor clearly enjoyed, simply because Ace was nursing a grudge. So he said,
No, this is fine,
put on his best serene smile, and took another bite of the salty pastry.
Ace's eyes went wide, then they huffed out a laugh and inclined their head. Evidently, Qui-Gon had won that round.
He didn't manage to finish the prank pastry, but Obi-Wan slid him half of his, so he did get to try the real thing. And his Grand Padawan's bit of mean-spirited fun aside, they were a very talented baker. Yoda, inspired by the salt pastry, asked,
Share tales of the best pranks I have seen, shall I?
The two Padawans and two knights were all quick to agree, Ace's expression intent in a way that warned Qui-Gon he should probably expect something other than a salty pastry next time. Yoda got through two stories, both of them well before Qui-Gon's time, before announcing,
"Late it is becoming. Tired I am."
Qui-Gon checked the time and blinked in surprise. He honestly hadn't realized it had gotten that late. "And you two have an early class," Fimor said to a chorus of groans from the Padawans. "Ace, plates, Figa, Wengwei, cups." They all groaned as they got up, Obi-Wan offering, "I'll help," as he rose too. Fimor waited until they mostly cleared off to the kitchen before saying, "Yoda, if you could stay a bit longer, there's something I need to tell you." He glanced at Qui-Gon, his expression troubled. "Both of you." Yoda, who had been in the process of getting up, let out a tired sigh and settled back into Qui-Gon's meditation pad.
"Like this I will not," he guessed.
"No," Fimor admitted. "But that doesn't make it any less necessary to hear." And then he got up to oversee the chaos in Qui-Gon's kitchen. Qui-Gon sighed. "I miss the days when my greatest worries were his grades and when the last time he slept was."
"Simpler times those were not," Yoda insisted before sighing, ears drooping and admitting, "yet lighter they were."
The shadow of the dark side clawing at the edges of the temple district seemed to constrict a little more at the acknowledgement. Fimor managed to get all of the younger Jedi out of the flat with only a bit of an argument from Wengwei, who complained, "You haven't slept in days, Master." Qui-Gon missed Fimor's retort when Vega tugged on his sleeve and quietly called,
"Master Qui-Gon?"
Qui-Gon crouched down a bit, as she was a good 30 centimeters shorter than him, and his knees tended to be slightly more forgiving than his back.
"Padawan Vega," he returned, using her first name since she'd used his. Given how cold her master was being, he was content to let her be the one to decide the level of familiarity. She nodded to herself, then said,
"Master Fimor likes hugs."
Qui-Gon blinked, thrown by the non sequitur.
"Okay."
She sighed and rolled her eyes.
"Master says it's a depression thing."
And oh, that explained so much.
"I see."
She nodded and then informed him,
"I don't like hugs."
Qui-Gon quirked a smile.
"I saw you do fist bumps, however."
Her eyes lit up and she held up a fist which Qui-Gon gently knocked against his own.
"You're not as bad as Master always complains," she informed him.
"I am exceedingly pleased to hear that."
"You also sound exactly like Master Fimor," she said, then turned and left him to shove at Ace so they'd leave the flat.
"Making friends with Vega?" Fimor asked, holding a hand down. "Apparently," Qui-Gon agreed.
He let Fimor help him straighten and then tugged his Padawan into a hug. Fimor let out a tiny sound that almost could have been a sob against Qui-Gon's clavicle, and caught his hands in the back of Qui-Gon's tunics. Holding on tight enough, he'd almost certainly have bruised skin if he'd grabbed for that instead. Qui-Gon let himself relax into the hug, resting his cheek on the top of his former Padawan's head. He hadn't really expected Vega to be wrong, especially after watching the way Fimor kept reaching out to people, but it was nice to have the confirmation that he actually wanted a hug from him, that the option wasn't just there, but actively encouraged. Sometimes he needed these things spelt out for him.
"Sweet this is," Yoda commented in a dry tone.
"Shut up, you hypocritical troll,"
Fimor muttered, and Qui-Gon chuckled. He was probably enjoying the way his Padawan kept mouthing off to Yoda a little too much.
"Hypocrite am I?" Yoda asked, his eyes narrowing.
Fimor huffed and then reluctantly pulled away from Qui-Gon to face the Grandmaster.
"Yes," he said quietly. "And I am as sorry to tell you this now as you were to tell it to me, Yoda. Master Yon is going to fall."
Qui-Gon grabbed for his Padawan's shoulder, needing the contact to steady himself. He wasn't surprised so much. Yon had always had a certain fascination with the forbidden, and a morality that let him do things that made Qui-Gon uncomfortable and just unbalanced. It had only been a week since he'd agreed to invite his former master to dinner, since Fimor had said he deserved a second chance.
"The second chance," he said. "It wasn't about his death, was it? It was about him falling."
Yoda let out a quiet, pained noise, and Qui-Gon realized with a start that the ancient master looked shattered.
"Both, really," Fimor said quietly,
reaching up to squeeze Qui-Gon's hand before stepping forward and kneeling in front of Yoda.
Last time we found out during the opening battle of the war when he ordered Obi-Wan and Anakin's deaths.
Somehow Qui-Gon stumbled his way over to the sofa and dropped into it feeling sick. Yhan had ordered Obi-Wan's death? His own grand Padawan? That... Certainly Yhan had always held a certain distance from the rest of their lineage, had avoided Yoda when possible, harped on Qui-Gon about every little flaw, and had been actively dismissive to Fëanor, especially once Qui-Gon had taken Xanatos as his Padawan. He'd never shown any interest in Obi-Wan beyond checking in when word reached him that Qui-Gon had finally taken another Padawan. But none of that should have led to him wanting members of his lineage dead.
I had hoped that if Qui-Gon survived, he might have stayed, might not have fallen. He swallowed loud in the grief-heavy silence and said, might not have become the new Sith apprentice, or led the opposition in the war. Qui-Gon was going to be sick.
Or maybe he'd go hunt down his former master and punch him until he saw sense.
Too late it is already,
Yoda guessed tiredly. To keep him here, yes, and... I'm afraid he's already in contact with the Sith, but he doesn't feel fallen.
Yoda nodded.
Stubborn he has always been, like Qui-Gon, like you, stubborn this lineage is. Fallen he is not yet. But his path he has picked.
He closed his eyes, ears drooping.
A Sith he will become.
I wanted to save him,
Fëanor whispered, sounding just as heartbroken as Yoda looked. Qui-Gon levered himself off the sofa and knelt next to his Padawan, tugging him into another hug. Fëanor came willingly, hiding his face against the crook of Qui-Gon's neck, and he pretended he couldn't feel the splash of teardrops where his tunics didn't cover.
Grandmaster, he called and held out an arm.
Yoda hesitated, presumably wary of the uncommon amount of physical contact. But this was far from a normal situation, and Yoda seemed to accept that, because he set his gimmer stick on the table and stepped forward into the space left for him in their triangle.
I'm sorry, Fëanor whispered.
Your fault this is not, Yoda insisted. Yhan's choice this is, his fault, his end.
You did your best, Fëanor, but you can't save someone who does not want to be saved, Qui-Gon added. Yhan's had an interest in darkness since I was a Padawan. This was never your battle to win.
Since he was an initiate, it was, Yoda corrected. Counseled him better I should have. Warmth he has, kindness. But struggle he always has to find the proper path. Failed now he has. Beyond our help he has gone, and alone he must walk. If enemies we are to become, then in the memory of the man he no longer is, we must face him.
Qui-Gon closed his eyes, let himself grieve for the master who had left him the same way Xanatos had. But unlike with Xanatos, he wasn't going to react first and hurt his Padawans. That was one lesson he only needed to learn once. He would meditate tonight, search the Force for the way forward. Eventually, Yoda sighed and stepped away, holding out a claw to call his gimmer stick to him.
Tell the Council I will. Save Mace some pain.
Fëanor snorted from where he was leaning against Qui-Gon's side.
I think we're all looking forward to the moment we get past the worst of these shatter points so he can actually stand to be in the same room with me.
Listen to Padawan Wing Wei, you should. In need of sleep, you are.
Fëanor sighed.
I'll try, he promised, though he didn't sound particularly excited by the prospect. I'll take a sedative before my first day at the Senate.
Yoda harrumphed and tapped Fëanor's arm lightly with his stick.
Try, he says.
I'm not making promises I can't keep, Fëanor shot right back. Stop nitpicking my degree of determination, you old troll.
Qui-Gon sighed.
Stop picking fights with your great-grandmaster. Fëanor opened his mouth. And don't say he started it.
Fëanor closed his mouth again, looking at least a little ashamed. Yoda cackled and stepped past them.
See myself out, I can, he called back as Qui-Gon started to rise.
Good night, Yoda. Fëanor called as he got to his feet next to Qui-Gon.
Good night, my most troublesome Padawans,
Yoda returned and quit the room.
I suppose, Qui-Gon commented, we'll always be Padawans to him. No, he's just a troll,
Qui-Gon chuckled.
Are you okay? Fëanor asked, peering up at him with worried blue eyes.
Qui-Gon sighed and admitted,
no, but I'm not as surprised as I wish I was either. Mostly it's, did he really order Obi-Wan's death and Anakin's? Fëanor nodded, expression gone grim. Yes. Obi-Wan was snooping where Yon didn't want him. Anakin had come to rescue him and failed. We managed to get there in time to save them, but we suffered heavy losses. And Yon fled, and Obi-Wan and Anakin gave chase. From all accounts, if Yoda hadn't arrived when he did and dueled him to a standstill, Yon would have killed them both. Qui-Gon closed his eyes and just breathed for a moment. Then he opened them again and said, I'd like to teach Wing Wei Makashi. Fëanor closed his eyes, looking pained. Yeah, he agreed tiredly, slip in some Ataru moves, and it would be the best counter. And then he snorted. He's finally got what he wanted, you realize? All of us learning Makashi just so we can kick his shebs. Damn, Qui-Gon muttered, and then realized what Fëanor had said, and squinted at him. Shebs? When did you pick up Mandoa? Fëanor grimaced. The war, he said in a tone that meant he wasn't going to say anything more than that. Still, he didn't really need to. If it had been a common enough word to have entered his vocabulary, he must have heard it often. And since the only other group of people in the galaxy who could regularly keep up with Jedi in combat situations were Mandalorians, the obvious explanation was that he counted them among his soldiers. Or they had been the enemy, but something told Qui-Gon it was the first one.
I should go, let you sleep.
I will not be sleeping, he didn't say, but Qui-Gon heard it anyway, and wasn't particularly surprised.
Yes, one of us should manage that at least, Qui-Gon said dryly.
Fëanor shrugged. Good night, master, he said, turning to leave.
Fëanor, Qui-Gon called, and his Padawan paused, glancing back. If you need me for any reason at any time, the door will open for you. It always has.
For a long moment, Fëanor just stared at him, but then he hurried back over and hugged Qui-Gon, whispering, Thank you. Qui-Gon hugged him back. He was starting to understand why his Padawan was so attached to the physical display of affection and murmured,
Any time, Padawan. Any time at all.
The End.